welcome to Intentional Living here in our Intentional Living studios in Tucson, Arizona. Today, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, along with Andrew and Amy, helping out to be a part of the show. Thank you for joining us. If you missed last Friday, we talked about parenting, had so many calls, we decided to roll it on over into today's topic because parenting is such a challenge. It's a blessing. It's tiring. It's for younger people, right? I think God knew that when he said, okay, I'll let parents be young and not old. All right. 888-1717 is the phone number we have here today for your comments on our storyline. A couple things I said last week just to get us set. If you're married or even if you're divorced, if you and your other parent can get on the same page over the major issues of parenting, discipline and priorities and goals, God bless you. You're fulfilling the Ecclesiastes 4 verse that two are better than one because they have a better return for their work. But if you're not, on the same page, boy, I'll tell you what, you should work at it for your own benefit and more so for the benefit of that child. And at times even agreeing to disagree when it comes to some things that you say, okay, it's better for us to stand together because kids by nature, by I guess just generation after generation will do what they can to put their nose between the parents to gain some power and control and influence and over them. That's just the way it is. We live in that fallen world, don't we? Ecclesiastes chapter 4, two are better than one. They have a better return for their work, and a strand of three is not easily broken. That third strand is God. If you're standing alone, make sure you're wrapped tightly into God's intentional love for you. There's a tremendous amount of strength in that as you try to parent today. All right, let's get to some of our calls that have been standing by. Go to Diana in Tennessee. Hi there, Diana. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I hope you are, and I really appreciate your program. I've just gotten into it in the last month, and I can't thank you enough and how the Lord's using you.
Thank you.
That's wonderful.
Thank you. Looks like you wanted to comment on someone on last week commented about a disruptive child in the family. Have you experienced that?
Yes, I'm raising my grandchildren, and I am an older lady. I'm over 65, and I just want to emphasize to our generation, older parents, older grandparents, that it took me, I've been having them now for 13 years, but this is the generation, I believe, that they have nothing. They have nothing about Jesus, and most of them, the majority of them, and they do not understand his ways. And it is very difficult. They are seeing the ugliest of ugly on the computers, the phones. Yeah. They know how to get into it, even when it's locked up, when it's tight. I had the lady that just called a few minutes ago and two of them, and I've gone through, went through the juvenile and all this. The basic plan that we did when I was growing up, my parents or me and my son, it doesn't work anymore for the most part.
Yeah.
Other than getting them to the Lord and, you know, in any way possible, getting the word there, listening, you know, you sing a hymn at home, you know, get it to them in any way, not hammering it over their head, but just seeing it in our lives. And they don't understand the disciplines that we used before. Nothing works.
Yeah,
it worked
right
for a little bit, but they have a they zone you out. I even went and worked in the elementary school here, and even in elementary, they know more about sex and the ugly part that Satan wants them to see to trap them. And they don't understand it, just as you said a little few minutes ago. They don't have the brain to comprehend any of this stuff.
Yeah, well, and you talk about when we were younger, and I know the young people listening, young parents are kind of tuning out thinking, there we go. But that's a reality. Here's the difference. Years and years ago, you had more control over what came into your home. There was one phone line coming in, and you could listen and kind of hear what's going on with the phone. You could control that. You had three channels on the TV set. And that was about it. And other than when your kids went out and had a magazine they weren't supposed to have hidden somewhere or whatever, now it comes right on in. It just comes right into their lives. See, And the kids get more information today in 5 minutes than we all got in, 5 months. And past generations in 5 years. And so there's an overload. And like you said, the reality is we know that kids' brains just don't develop until they get into their 20s. I mean, any of us, it doesn't harden up. And some of that frontal lobe stuff where the decision making is kind of like the last thing to harden up in our brains. And that's why you see kids sometimes make, how in the world do they make such stupid decisions? Well, it's just their brain is at a different stage and they're getting different kinds of information and influence and so on. And so you're absolutely right. And so what I say to parents, listen, you got to know what's going on in your home. You still got to control what comes in to your home to the best you can. And I know it's a really difficult time, but you're right. We got to make sure that we're making sure that our home is a place of safety, of honesty, of knowledge. We got to be smarter than the kids and knowing what's going on. We got to be wise, right? As serpents, harmless as doves, but very aware of it. And parents and grandparents, Diana just gave you a good reminder. Thank you. Glad you're a new listener in Tennessee. By the way, you can leave your comment at 888-888-1717 is the number, 888-888-1717. I can go to Stevie, I think, in Arizona. Hi, Stevie. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you today?
Good. You sound like you have a little one there.
I do. Sorry for the background.
No, that's fine. That's fine. That's parenting. Somebody's not happy. What aren't they happy about today?
Oh, he doesn't like it. It's a little 6-month-old. He just doesn't like the car.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, what's your question today?
So my question is, I have a 7-month-old and then I have a 2.5-year-old. And my 2.5-year-old is very dear. He has some behavioral issues caused by, like, an actual medical diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question as a young parent, and I really don't have any friends in the church who have a similar situation, is when you're going to discipline or give consequences for actions for behavior that shouldn't be happening, where's the line between grace and discipline when you know that there's something in the background fueling a lot of the action?
Yeah. Well, the kind of the big picture answer to that one, Stevie, is getting knowledge. If I were you, I would sit down and talk to your medical doctor and really understand what is the diagnosis, what's expected, what's reasonable to expect a child with whatever he's facing. Because what can happen, and I've seen this, what can happen is a child has some special need and so on and needs to be accommodated. I get it. That's important. But there's a switch that can go off that becomes a power play. They can start to use that to control the parent. And the parent, either out of guilt or ignorance or whatever, can respond in a way that's not the best for the child. And of course, the goal is to raise a responsible adult. So I would begin with understanding the unique challenges that my child is facing and then put a game plan together that works for that child, which may be different than another child. That's why when we give these principles of parenting, which is, the reality of life, holding them accountable, both natural and logical consequences, not tolerating disrespect, and all of these things that we teach that are important for children to grow up and be responsible. When you have a child that may have a special need, you have to be aware of how to communicate that and how to teach them that, because they're going to be not typical, as they say, right? Not quite typical of maybe another child in their response. And so, as you said, you don't know any other parents and you're trying to do this, I would go find some professional help that can help you put a plan together. I'm glad you're listening. I hope that helps.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. We've all been there. You have a difficult decision, and you want to know God's will, but where do you start?
I believe that God's will is not nebulous or vague. It's all revealed for you and for me in His Word. To know and live in God's will, you must know and apply the Bible to every situation.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled, Finding God's Will, he discusses some practical ways you can know what God's will is for your life. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message, along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Right on. Thank you, Kurt. And when you do that, you're saying, hey, I'm giving a vote here to continue the ministry of intentional living through your podcast, your short features, your daily broadcast, our resources, events, and things that we do. And so your ongoing support is just a hugely appreciated, as they say, hugely, right? We hear that once in a while. 888-888-1717 to our storyline, Talking Parenting today. Back to the calls, going to New Mexico.
Hi, Dr. Randy. This is Kimber from Albuquerque, and I have an 18-year-old daughter who now has an 11-month-old son, and the father of the baby passed away last October. So I am at a loss. She tells me she's an atheist, and she lives in my home, and it's just really, really hard to deal with. Any hope or suggestions would be just much greatly appreciated.
Well, Kimber, listen, you said it. She's 18 years old, has an 11-month-old. Do the math, right? She started very young. The dad's gone. Change your mind. Redefine the relationship with your daughter. Yeah, she's still your daughter, but now she's an adult. She has a child. She has responsibility. You got two adults living in the home. If any other adult was living there with you, how would you handle it? If they were disrespectful or whatever. I mean, you should. You would sit down and say, that's just not going to be the way it is here. This is my home, and you know, we're going to treat each other as respectful adults. And so sitting down with her and intentionally changing the mind, this little framing in her mind that somehow or other she's just a kid who happens to have a baby. No, she's 18 years old. She made that decision. She's a mother, and now she's living with you, two adults living together in the home. Don't treat her as a child. And in the process, I hear your exhaustion, Kimber. I hear that you're just overwhelmed. You got to take care of yourself. And you've got to intentionally build into your schedule, to your finances, to your own routine to make sure that you're giving yourself some energy. The fact that you allow her to be there, I get it. You want to make sure that baby's taken care of, and God bless you for that. That's powerful. But reframing this as two adults as opposed to a mother and child and a grandchild, I think would be a good starting point for you. That's one thing for the next 30 days, to reframe and reposition that relationship. All right. Let's go next. Jennifer, I think, in California. Go right ahead. What's your question?
Hi. My question is, I have a 12-year-old, 11-year-old, and almost 10-year-old, and I feel as though they argue and fight nonstop, and hitting is a big issue in my family, and I don't know how to get them to stop, and I don't know how to stay calm without wanting to just lose it. I feel as though I tell them to go to their rooms, and I am absolutely not respected whatsoever. Now, it's opposite with their dad's home. They listen to him, but as soon as he's gone or not around, no one acknowledges me. They don't care what I have to say, and I don't know how to change that so that I am once again viewed as the parent. And I don't fear my children, and I don't know. I don't know what to do. I need help.
Yeah, well, listen, Jennifer, I hear you. A couple things. I think maybe, you know, be honest with yourself, there is a little fear of your children. You say, I don't fear them, but maybe you do. Not so much physically, but just, I don't know. I fear I'm going to do the wrong thing or they're not going to like me. The other thing is, my guess is, I don't know if you're a stay-at-home mom, or my guess is you're more involved with the kids than dad is, because you said when dad's home or when dad comes home. There's two things, obviously the male, but secondly, you're the parent that's there all the time. They figured you out. Dad comes in and then he's gone. And they're still trying to figure dad out, you know, where mom is there all the time. And so it's easy to develop a relationship with mom that's different than with dad. I think we all can say that. I had a different relationship with my mom than I did with my dad. And that's just part of life. And that's good. That's not bad. And so I think it's important for you to do a little more what dad is, whatever he's doing. If he's holding the kids accountable, if he's not tolerating the guff, if you got a 10, 11, 12-year-old and you tell them to go to the room and clean up and they don't. And by the way, this instant obedient thing, be careful with that. Sometimes it's better for parents, just wisdom would say, hey, guys, before we have lunch today, we got to get the rooms cleaned up. Okay, and that'll be about a half hour from now. So as long as the room's cleaned up, then we can have lunch. How's that sound? Okay, all right. They're thinking, all right. And then lunch comes around and the room's not clean. Well, the lunch didn't come out of the refrigerator. Hey, I said once the room's cleaned up, then we can have some lunch. You don't have to argue with them. You don't have to get angry. You're putting the proverbial ball of life clearly in their court. If you want to have lunch, clean your room. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to just sit and listen to Family Life Radio and enjoy myself. And once the rooms are cleaned up and I can peek in, by the way, it doesn't have to be perfect, but that you've cleaned up the rooms, then we can have lunch. And here's what's going to happen. The 11-year-old's going to clean his room, and the 12-year-old's going to clean his room, and the 10-year-old's not. Then you have a choice, and this is where you can be creative as a parent. Either the 10-year-old can't have lunch until the room's cleaned up, or nobody has it. And then you know what the 12-year-old's going to do. Get that room cleaned up. Of course, you got to watch that, too, that dynamic. But seriously, when we get parenting off of this idea of volume, how much we yell or how boisterous we are, to holding kids accountable in a positive way, that's great. I'm thinking of a verse in the book of Ecclesiastes that says the quiet words of the wise are better to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. And that's not a parenting verse, but I think it should be, because sometimes we think that volume is an exchange for good parenting, and it's not. I mean, the kids are looking at you thinking, wow, look at mom. I can see the blood veins coming out on her neck, you know, as she's yelling at me. But really saying, hey, there's going to be accountability here, and I'm going to do it quietly. I don't have to raise my voice. You never have to yell again in your home except for a fire. And that really truly is intentional parenting. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's go to one more call before we take a break. And this is a call from Arizona. Go right ahead.
My name is Dana, and I have a question about being a single parent. I've been a single mom for about 7 years, and I don't struggle with the whole concept of forgiveness of what's happened in the past. But what I do struggle with is when my children's dad get them every other weekend or once a month or however he gets them, how do you not get angry and not have unforgiveness in your heart when it comes to the constant hurt that you see your children going through?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a tough one, Dana, and I would be irresponsible just to give a trite answer, but I'll make a couple observations. One is, I think you can be angry. I mean, that's biblical. We'll talk about that in a moment. Without being unforgiving or without allowing to have it damage your spirit. You know, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians that we're to be angry, but don't sin. And so with that anger that you feel, frankly, it's sort of justified. If the kids are coming back and they've been hurt, whatever, in terms of their time with dad, and you feel for them. Just a couple observations. Use that emotion you have as a fuel to say, okay, when they're here, I'm going to show these kids what is God's intention for how a home should be run and how a parent should parent. I'm not going to feel sorry for them. I'm not going to operate out of guilt. I'm going to have a home that's run on order and godly discipline. I'm going to be intentional. but I'm going to get behind their eyes. I want my kids to grow up and know that in this home, when they're here, it's a safe place. It's an encouraging place. It's a place where they can grow and be who they need to be. I love it when our grandchildren come to our house and from time to time they say, we like being here. That feels good. And why? We don't have a dog. I mean, can't be that. Hopefully it's that they feel that this is an environment where they're going to get encouragement and love. And that's what we try to do with all of our grandkids. All right. Tell you what, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back talking parenting today from Intentional Living.
If you and I want to live obediently to Christ, intentionally for Him, we want to know His will, I guess the message here is to get into His Word and read what it has to say about marriage, about work, about finances, about the decisions that you're trying to make. To understand God's will is to begin in His Word. And as you diligently search for Scripture and for His will, for whatever it is, the dilemma you're facing, the questions you're facing, the decisions you're facing, you're going to find that the Bible will spell out the divine principles that will apply to your circumstances so that you can apply them by obedience directly to your life. I think perhaps the consummate scripture on God's will comes from Romans 12:2. And for good reason. It says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will."
That happens to be an excerpt from the featured lesson this month from Intentional Living, and it's up there on our website made available because of the just a generous support of you all who've been praying for us and supporting us on an ongoing basis. And when you join us today, you're making all this possible. How do you join us? Can I just challenge you to pray about a dollar a day in support of the ministry, just to give you a target? Some do less, some do more, but about $30 a month, $360 for the year, put it on auto giving. It goes to help us reach more people. How do you do that? Go online to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or you can call 888-888-1717 during the business hours and press number 2. Talk to our staff. Okay? Appreciate it. All right, I think this is Brad from Michigan. Boy, looks like a pretty painful experience or question coming from you, Brad. Go right ahead.
In regards of your children, I have an older child, 43, that's abandoned her children, and you can give me advice what I can do. She's in Arkansas, abandoned her children. I'm just frustrated with trying to lure her back here to straighten her matters up in Michigan. Brad is the name.
All right, Brad. Thank you. Listen, that's painful. I can't imagine as a grandparent seeing your child abandoned. I don't know what that means when you say abandoned. Are they in foster care or where are they? But I would say to every grandparent, if you're physically able, and when this happens, it's not God's intention. It's not the way it's supposed to be. But I think you got to step in and step up. As a grandparent, you got to step in and step up. And not for the daughter as much as for the kids. Because they don't deserve that. And you love your daughter. But you said, how, what'd I do to lure her back? You're not going to lure her back. I think of the father of the prodigal son. He didn't lure his son back. I mean, luring is kind of, isn't that a word we use, fishermen use for, do you fish? You guys are fishermen in there? Any of you? Yeah, maybe a little bit. I think, isn't that a lure, something they put out for a fish to lure them in, right? And I get the concept, but you're really saying I want to reward my daughter to get her back home here. What the prodigal daddy did is he just opened the shades and he left the door unlocked and basically saying, I'm here, but hey, listen, you got to come back under your own power. And when you do, when you come in the house, this is our house. This is the way it's going to operate. I love you and I want the best for you. But for those grandkids, man, you got to step in and step up, which is really an important thing to do. Powerful. All right. One more. I think I have time for one more here quickly. Let's go to Kathleen, I think it is, in Arizona. Go right ahead.
Well, I have a 20-year-old son and My husband passed away a couple of years ago from cancer, and he is now in a relationship with an atheist female. I believe she's just trying to test the waters with me a bit, but we went on a day trip to Flagstaff, and I was in the back seat, and the two of them, of course, were in the front. And she made a comment on the way up about, do I have to live near Sky Daddy? And I said, I'm not real sure what that means. And she said, well, do you have to live by a church? Do you have to be by religious people? And I said, well, I enjoy the fellowship that I have with the church I belong to and the people that I'm surrounded by. And my son's a believer as well. So I made eye contact with my son in the rearview mirror, and I felt like he wanted me to just let it go. So I let it go. And then there was a family gathering at my brother's, and I was asked, do you think that she's the one that Matthew should marry? And I said, no. I never elaborated. I never said anything further about her. I just said, no, I don't believe she's the one. And now my son and I haven't spoken in over 6 months.
Wow. Kathleen, I think what happened was at that intersection when you said, and then I went to a family gathering and I said, no, my son shouldn't marry this woman, this girl. Openly, publicly, maybe even in front of him, I don't know. And listen, I'll tell you what, when a person makes a decision, they're going to defend it. And at some point, your son made a decision, this is the woman he wants to be a part of and involved with, and you see all the problems, you get it, you're kind of at the 20,000-foot level looking over it. But with your, openly disapproving him, in his mind, I have no choice but to put a boundary in place and exclude my mom. And in the process, we become our own worst enemies. And I tell parents, listen, if you got a son or daughter doing stupid stuff, and you don't endorse it, you don't pay for it, and you certainly don't get involved with it, but you gotta love them and keep that door open to say, hey, more questions than statements. How you doing? Is this getting you to where you want to go? How do you feel about where you would be in 5 years if you stayed on this course? What's working for you? What's not working for you? The kind of questions that make him or her think about their lives. Because I can tell you right now, a rebellious 20-year-old son with a statement from mom is going to get shut off real quick. That's just a fact. All right. Life is hard, and then we tend to make it harder than we ought to. Isn't that true? I got to run. Thank you again, Amy. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate your help. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. This is Intentional Living, a ministry of Intentional Life Media. And I will be back, Lord willing, tomorrow. See you then.